Safe as Houses, podcast number 32. This week, I'm returning to the main story. Sally and Lavinia, her beloved, who also just happens to be a vampire, have discovered some amazing things. For example, that the vampires who clog the night will give up even blood for a chance to be in a home again. And also they've discovered, in the most intimate and personal way you can, that sunlight sends vampires such as Lavinia into ecstasy. Now they are parked at dawn at a state beach in their old green camper van, and the vampires have returned to their hiding holes. Safe as Houses, Volume 3 begins today. Volume 3 is entitled Homes, and this is Chapter 1. I want you to think about it. Sally shouldered the cabinet-lined rear door closed with a slam and stomped grimly across the gravel parking lot toward the outhouse, carrying what she called the slosh chamber from their portable toilet. With a start, she saw the remains of the fight last night. A patch of crusted dried brown showed where Lavinia had lost most of her new blood. And there was the body with its throat torn out. Sally ran her tongue over her own teeth in wonder and disgust, tasting again the bitter, acrid taste and feeling the savagely satisfying crunch. She had fought for Lavinia. She had been ready to die for Lavinia. She had almost died for her. 10 minutes ago they'd been making beautiful love. She'd been aroused, full of joy. Why was she now even thinking what she was thinking? And why was she so hurt by Lavinia's little revelation? Sally's gift wasn't finding answers to internal questions right away. Her gift was that when she did stumble on the answer, she could always recognize it. That happened now. She saw that it had nothing to do with anything they'd just said. She was hurt because 10 minutes ago she'd been holding her wife in her arms, ready to move to a whole new level of intimacy. And now... Lavinia opened her eyes. "Let me do you now, tiger." Her voice was lazy and packed with feeling at the same time. "You don't have to. I'm fine." Sally kept her arm around Lavinia's shoulder, her other hand cupping the bristly pubic hair and the wet lips. "Well, the smart-ass New York Jew came out. Oh, yes you are, kiddo. No doubt about it. And I'm just lazy enough to say, sure, okay, fine, glad I don't have to do nothing. But I want to, so get that hand out of me and get those clothes off now." Sally, body quivering with excitement, didn't argue any more, but she hovered between the panting desire to obey and the new desire to boldly tell Lavinia what she wanted. It seemed an important choice. But what decided her was something ridiculously trivial. She had to go to the bathroom. But just then Lavinia sagged in her arms and looked at her with helpless eyes and whimpering terror deep in her throat. Sally eased her down gently onto the mattress. "You're okay, baby," she begged. "It's just the day, right?" For a moment Lavinia struggled frantically, tiny, hurtful movements that rippled through her body. Then she relaxed, panting. She talked incoherently for another minute before she got control of her speech. Sorry. I just hate being paralyzed. I hated it yesterday, too. Oh, God. I gotta be paralyzed the whole fucking day again. Sorry. Just for a minute there, it was more than I can take. I'm okay now. I'm okay." Sally slipped her hand back out of Lavinia's jeans. She took an automatic second to smell it without even realizing she'd done it, then leaned over and kissed Lavinia on the lips. "Is there anything I can do?" No, Just gotta get used to it again. Her breath was jagged. Yesterday, when you found me, you got no way to know. I'd been near screaming for half an hour, and I'd finally just gone numb. Her breath huffed out. I can move again tonight. Can move again tonight. Just, God, it seems so long away. Her head quivered. I'm okay. The more often she said it, the less Sally believed it. Hey, sorry, I can't. I'm just not up for topping you right now. Oh, that's okay, Sally reassured her, feeling nothing but love. I have to shit anyway. I wouldn't have... She stopped, realizing that she'd just let slip something she hadn't meant to tell. Lavinia's face clouded up, and in the weak voice which was all she could manage, demanded, "What's that supposed to mean?" Now Sally felt terrible, and looked down at the rumpled sheets. She should have told Lavinia the first time it came up, and not now when Lavinia was feeling with so much else. But at Lavinia's, "Huh?" she knew she had to speak. All I meant, was the stuff you do with my ass. And I love it," she hastened to add. "But when I have to shit, it just," she shrugged, "hurts." Lavinia was silent, breathing. "I should have told you I'm sorry," Sally added miserably, reminding herself that she had looked her death in the face more than once. She made herself meet Lavinia's eyes. Those eyes were angry, but at least they weren't panicked or hopeless. "How many times?" Sally tilted her head left and right, but couldn't avoid saying, "Once or twice." Then honesty made her add, "I guess 4 times. She shrugged again, trying to make light of it. "I guess I usually just made sure I was empty when I thought we'd make love." In all their playing with power, Lavinia had never made her feel like a bad little girl like she felt now. At the edge of conscious memory, her father yelled at her, sent her to her room, and she went simmering with rebellion. Her body ached frighteningly for Lavinia to punish her now, to make her really hurt. She stopped herself from hinting to Lavinia that she should. "Baby," Lavinia said, angry and hurt, "I trusted you. If you needed me to stop, God fuck it, you should have said." "I'm sorry," she yelled. "I just felt so good most of the time, and I knew the not-just-right stuff would end and we'd move on to better stuff, and I love you so much, and I just didn't want to stop you." "God damn it, I hurt you," Lavinia said. "We should have had the safe sex talk and the what we like talk after all. I real life hurt you." Lavinia looked thoroughly miserable. Sally hunched her shoulders. For long minutes, neither of them said anything. Then Lavinia said sadly, "I'm sorry, baby. Jesus, how could I not have seen? I thought I was so tuned into you. I guess when I see that bright, perky little butt of yours and you're so fucking pretty. What do you want with a broken-down old..." "Stop!" Sally put out a hand to block the words. "Don't tell me you ain't thought it, kid. I saw." Lavinia could arch her eyebrows better than anyone in the world, and the nearly full paralysis hadn't changed that. Sally knew her face was now as red as a cash gift envelope, but she knew the envelope contained an even, not an odd, number of coins. "Yes, I've thought it," she admitted. With sudden, painful self-awareness, she realized that it had even been a part of the turn-on at first, the feeling that she was giving control of herself to someone who, she could hardly think the words, didn't deserve her. "I don't feel that way now," she said firmly, "and I'm ashamed that I ever thought of your body as less than perfect." She looked straight in Lavinia's eyes and willed Lavinia to see that truth. Her eyes took in almost as an act of contrition, Lavinia's gray streaks, the wrinkles around her eyes, the small pot belly. Lavinia's face didn't relax, and so Sally couldn't relax either.
"Thanks for saying that," Lavinia said slowly. "But I guess I should tell you something."
Sally felt her shoulders tense. Any time a lover had ever said that to her, it had been bad. Who did Lavinia really love instead of her? Their promise to marry seemed to belong to two other people. But the ever-observant Lavinia took on an exasperated, amused look. "Loosen up, baby. I'm just indulging in some Jewish guilt here, something you damn chink Buddhists don't know nothing about." Sally had actually been raised Christian, but she knew Lavinia was teasing her. So instead of bristling, she said, "All right, go ahead, you guilo." It was just the word her parents had used for Anglos, but she could never think of a witty rejoinder until too late.
"So what I was about to reveal to you was just that me, when I saw gorgeous young you, ready to let me just take you, ready to give that nubile body into my hands, I felt like I was, I don't know, catching a wild bird. When was the last time I had such a good-looking body in my hands? I felt like I didn't deserve you, but I was going to take you anyway since you were going to let me."
Sally, shocked at hearing her inmost thoughts spoken aloud like that, felt her mouth drop open. Lavinia nodded sadly.
"So listen, babe. Go shit. And think about all this. Really think. Make sure you really want to be stuck with me. I won't hold you to anything we said under stress, baby. Take as much time as you need. Not shitting, you know what I mean. Just promise."
Lavinia clamped her mouth shut without asking for whatever promise she'd been about to exact.
"I don't need any time to shah. You at least need the shit. Get out of here for a while. The shit bucket needs to be emptied anyway."
They had bought a portable toilet for the camper, something Lavinia hadn't needed while traveling through Europe, but which they needed in this vampire-infested world.
"But, baby, I'm sure..."
Lavinia closed her eyes now.
"Just no automatic answers, baby, that's all. Take 5 minutes to think."
Sally gave in. Lavinia, so good at listening, got as stubborn as a mule when you pushed her. That was probably something she was just going to have to live with, for she was sure, wasn't she? She pulled herself reluctantly, heavily, from the bed, opened the closet and pulled the slosh chamber out from the portable toilet, opened the rear doors and climbed out into a morning from paradise. She shouldered the door closed with a slam. This story is copyright 2014 by Michael Litsky, c'est moi. For the print version of this story, information about the background music, other things I've written, and a cute picture of Chili, my incredible cat, peeking over a book at me, please visit my website, which is www.fictionandmore.com. Next week, Chapter 2, Thinking About It. See you then.